Now we move to part two, the first reading, and this theme of call, vocation, and fidelity. We have the Isaiah text, and that prepares us, this servant is speaking, for what our Lord says when he predicts his future. And Peter objects. And so we have this. The Lord opened my ear. This is Isaiah 55-9. The Lord opened my ear. I did not refuse, did not turn away. Now that could be an allusion to a right. If a Jewish man who is a slave to another Jewish man wants to stay a slave to his Hebrew master, there's a ceremony where the master takes him out, he takes an awl, and he puts his head up there on the post, and he knocks a hole in the earlobe. That means, now your ear is open to me. So, it may be an allusion to that when this text says, see, the Lord God, patali ozen, he opened my ear for me. Now I'm his slave. So, I think that's the illusion is there. It's not just saying, he made me attentive. He made me his slave. Okay? And I did not refuse, did not turn away. Now listen to this and think of the account of the Passion. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who tore out my beard, my face I did not hide from insults and spitting. When the gospel writers begin to write about that mockery of the soldiers of Jesus, they're using this kind of vocabulary on purpose, so that we will see there, finally, is the servant of God. It's his own son. And there he is. All these things are happening to me. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who tore at my beard, my face I did not hide from insults and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Because God is my help. See, this is the Logos speaking ahead of time of himself as incarnate through the servant and through this servant song. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. I may be humiliated, but God is with me. I will never be shamed. God is with me. This is the servant, you see. This is Jesus. Okay. He who declares my innocence is near. Let them do what they want. I know that I am innocent, and my Father knows I'm innocent. And he's here with me, even in all this suffering. You see? Who will oppose me? Let us appear together. Who will dispute my right? Let them confront me. They won't do that. This is a mock trial. This is a corrupt Roman politician yielding to the force of a jealous, angry group of people. And so, see, the Lord God, that is Adonai God, is my help. Who will declare me guilty? See, they will all wear out like a garment. See, and consumed by moths. They'll disappear. Yes, they insult me, says this prophet. And I know that what I'm experiencing is somehow going to be experienced by someone after me. Because it is the word of God speaking through this prophet, right? The Logos is present through all of Israel's history. And he's speaking. He's creating an understanding of who he is and what his passion is going to be like and what it's going to be for. See? And so we have this servant song. It's the third of the four that this exegete Doom picked out. I myself think the integral part of the text, they're not inserted, and there's a fifth one. It's in the next part of Isaiah, in chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Those who need God, who know they need God. They might have $1 million, but they know. Most people with $1 million don't know they need God, and most people with no money do know they need God. They're lucky. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't serve them and help them. But that's what he's saying here, you see. And so, the psalm is this suffering man recounting his time. It's Psalm 116. I love the Lord. Hafti Yishma Adonai et koli. I love the Lord. That's a good way to start a prayer, isn't it? Ahavti et Adonai. Ki shema, because the Lord heard my voice when I was crying out to him. What a prayer. You see? Who turned an ear to me on the day I called. I was caught by the cords of death. Snares of Sheol had seized me. I felt agony and dread. Now do you know why the great mystics love the Psalms? As they read that, they can see and experience what Jesus was going through. All of these are written by the Holy Spirit. They are the Logos Tou Theou, they are the Word of God, not incarnate, but expressing himself. And faithful to his call, the call of the Father. See? And so, I was caught by the cords of death. The snares of Sheol, the pit, had seized me. I felt agony and dread. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save my life. Gracious is the Lord. You see? Hanun Adonai v'tzadik v'elokhenu nirachem. All the words we've seen so many times, right? Hanun, gracious. Cares. The woman's name, Anna, comes from this word, Hanna. Chen means grace. Hanna, gracious, caring. See, the Lord is Chanun. Do you remember, we've done this several times, when Moses asked God to let me see your face. God says, you can't do that. You'll die. And you're supposed to live now. But I will pass by and I will tell you my name. You remember that? And it's in the book of Exodus, huh? Maybe we should look at it for a moment. If I can find it quickly, it should be in Exodus 33, 34. God goes by and he pronounces his name. Adonai, Adonai. El Rachum Vanachum. You see? And Hanun. He's merciful and gracious, see? Rich in mercy, that's where we get that phrase. And after these laws, he says this prayer. And one of the great Jewish commentators, Rashi, says, God is telling Moses, look, you just appealed to me on the basis of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the merits of the fathers. But it could happen, the Lord says, that Israel would get so bad that it will exhaust the merits of the fathers. I'm going to give you another prayer, and if you say this prayer, I will always answer. That's God. You're going to get so bad that the prayers are not going to work. I'm going to have to give you another one, and that will work. And that prayer is the one that I just started to recite. You see? And Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum Bachanun. I'm sorry that I'm not finding it right away. It's when he's... anyway, I'll get it for you next time. So he's saying here, you see, Adonai, you are Chanun, and Tzadik, you are righteous, just. What is justice, biblically? It's honoring the truth of every relationship. God promised. He made an oath. He made a covenant. And so his righteousness is that he lives up to the covenant he promised, which is mercy. You know, when John Paul II wrote that encyclical, Misericordiantissimus Redemptor, the most merciful Redeemer, and in there, he does a commentary on the prodigal son. And he said, notice, when the father runs out to that boy, he's being just. He's honoring the relationship. He's the father, that's the son, he's coming home. I'm going out and embrace him as justice demands. Very different idea of justice, isn't it? You see, justice is always relational. It's honoring the truth of every relationship. And so he says here, you see, that he's Hanun, loving, gracious, and Tzadik, you see? And he is full of mercy, the last of the... And that word there comes from Rechem. I've told you all this before, but if you forgot it, that's okay. Don't forget it for good, though. El Rachum, Rechem is womb. He loves us like a mother loves the child of her own body. El Rachum. That's what he's trying to say. And this is the psalm. You see? Okay. And now he goes on, return my soul to your rest, for the Lord has been very good to you. For my soul has been freed from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Because there I was caught by the cords of death. The snares of Sheol had seized me. I felt agony and dread. I called on the name of the Lord. And what's the last line? I shall walk before the Lord. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now that's faith. That's knowing where the rescue comes from. And he is a type, a prefiguration of Jesus. Totally abandoned on the cross, never leaving off, dying, going to Sheol, and then being raised again to prove how faithful the Father is. Infinitely faithful to his own Son and raising him from the dead. So you see why this first part about the servant, I will follow the Lord wherever because I can trust him. He will never leave me totally. I can trust him. And that's what Jesus was praying and saying, even when he said, why have you abandoned me? Who did he ask? Bystanders, why has God abandoned me? No. He asked God, the Father, because he knew he was there. Amen.